Welcome to the Focus on Why podcast. I'm Amy Rowlandson and I ask my guests one simple question. Why? Focusing on the importance of why, I share with you the relatable, uplifting and inspiring conversations I have with people from all walks of life. This podcast will encourage you to focus on your why to enable and empower you to achieve the success you desire. Have a purpose, have a plan, focus on why. Before we start, I would like to draw your attention to my weekly email newsletter, Friday Focus. Each Friday, I focus on one topic with one action arising. The link to sign up is in the show notes, or head over to amyrowlandson.com and sign up right now. Today on Focus on Why, I am joined by Hilary Briggs. Welcome.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.
Indeed. So what is it you're focusing on at the moment, Hilary?
Well, where I've got to is what I am really, really keen on is taking on challenges which I didn't think I could do. But even more than that, it's helping other people to do things they didn't think they could do. So that's where I've got to.
Amazing. And how do you know that a challenge is something that you didn't think you could do?
I suppose going back in my life, one of the examples that jumps out is for long distance walking. So I've always been pretty fit, and I can remember my mum saying somehow the conversation about the Pennine Way long distance walk in Northern England came up. And this would have been, in the 70s. Now, I think it was fairly new. I don't know exactly when it was opened, but 268 miles, 430 kilometres. And she was saying, oh, it's really difficult. You've got to do over 25 miles a day. And this 25 miles a day has sort of stuck in my head. I mean, I was doing Duke of Edinburgh expeditions and things like that. We got nowhere near doing that sort of distance. But it wasn't until my early 40s that somehow the opportunities manifested to actually take this on. And I thought, I wonder, how could I do it? And I think that's the thing that my brain tends to go to. If there's something, I mean, I suppose there'd be things sort of, I don't know, jumping off a building. You hear people doing this base jumping or whatever it's called. And I think for me, that sounds a bit too risky and the life endangering. So I think I have got some limits, but it's something that's obviously the people do it. So you think, well, there must be ways of doing it, but actually, could I do it? How could I do it? And I guess when I started to engage in a walk, it was the Coast to Coast was the first walk I actually did, and it was a chap I'd met on a walking holiday a few years before, and we'd been encouraged by the trek leader on given some tips on how to organize your own expedition, sort of carrying all your kit. And it probably spurred on as well by one of my dad's friends. This was starting in the Lake District. He was saying, going from the coast to Black Sail in a day, it can't be done. And that is a phrase that's likely to get me going, because you think, I'm going to really give that a really good thrashing. And but breaking down, doing 25 miles a day, and certainly the Pennine Way was much more of that, doing it in 10 days, because that's all the time we had available. And living in London and figuring out how to build up the strength and the stamina to do that sort of distance. Plus, it was around 1,500 metres climb on the longest days, actually 30 miles or more on the longest day. So building up that stamina, not only to do that in one day, but to be able to get up the next day and again, I found that really fascinating to sort of break it down. And probably I trained as an engineer, it was my university degree. So I really like to apply the problem solving skills to something like that. And, after I'd done that, friends would say, Hilary, that's really the sort of challenge I could live without. And, that's fair enough. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but I find it's stimulating for me. And actually having done something like that, then you think, well, if I can do that, what else can I do? It's kind of builds from that. And also, I found being fit, if it sort of pushes your fitness, feel good, and that's, yeah, that's a nice feeling.
And I'm interested, Hilary, to understand how much these challenges are physical and mental.
I think that there's bits of both. So I can remember from, actually, it was the coast to coast was the first time I experienced it, because I was having real problems with my feet at one point. It was always learning points. You think, do something better the next time. But I was struggling, and between both of us, we were struggling. And I remember one particular day, I did start off, we got absolutely soaked and frozen in the Lake District. This was the end of May, so it wasn't even winter, but we still got not great weather. And at about 6 o'clock in the evening, we still had, I can't remember how many miles to go, but I mean, we didn't get to our destination till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So, you know, there were 3.5 hours of walking. And I remember what I came up with. I was the one with the maps. And I knew on an ordnance survey map, the sort of thumb length was roughly a mile. And at the pace we were going, carrying our kit and uphill and so on, that would take about 30 minutes. And so that's how I started to develop that mode of thinking. I'm not interested in anything else. Thumb length on the map, we're now here, but in roughly 30 minutes, we'll be at the end of my thumb. And that's, I was just focused on that. And that worked really well on the Pennine Way as well. So I suppose, you know, whether you put that in mental or physical, because be inevitably bits of the body would be moaning at some point or other. So kind of willing the body to keep going was definitely a part of it, which, again, it may not be in everyone's cup of tea. But yeah, I suppose coming through that, you just get a sense of elation. I think, well, I've survived. We've made it to the end, to the hostel or, you know, campsite for the evening. But I think that what I learned very much was about breaking things down and making it manageable. So 30-minute chunks I could get my head round.
It's a new perspective on a rule of thumb.
Yes, good point. Yes.
Yeah, I love that. And the taking on challenges, and you just said that there's learning points of how to do it better next time. There's never a case of, I just can't do this anymore.
No, I've never. And I think, there's always something. And I guess I take that in life as well, no matter what bad experiences I've had, you know, whether it's being fired or relationship breakup or whatever. You think, well, it might be really rough now, but I found my experience to date is that it might be years later, something can happen. You think, actually, it's really good that I had that experience because it made me stronger, or I'm not shocked by what's happened. So I'm just better able to deal with it. So I think that's my attitude. I'm not quite sure where that comes from, but I'm always, because I'm always looking for, you know, no matter how bad it is, what can I get from this that sort of makes me better?
Yeah, the cloud, every cloud has a silver lining comes to mind.
Yeah.
So you said that you keep taking on challenges that you didn't think you could do, and now you're helping others do the same. In what way?
So, just some silly examples in a way. One of my other hobbies is playing the cello. And over the years, I've played with a lady, and unfortunately, she's passed away just recently at the grand old age of 104. But this is probably about 10 years ago. We would play, just piano and cello pieces. And there's a cello sonata by Rachmaninoff, which I fancied having a go at. Knew it wasn't going to be perfect, but the piano part is like a piano concerto. It's horrendous. And so I brought this along because this lady was willing to have a go, and her attitude was very, very good. Sort of, if in doubt, leave it out. But she had trained originally in her youth as an accompanist, so she was very used to just being able to keep something going. But even when she looked at this and thought, oh, no, I don't think we can do this. And so my tactic was, well, let's have a look at the slow movement. You know, that's going to be a bit easier rather than something that's really, really rapid. So, yeah, sure enough, we managed to get through that. And so the next time, well, let's have a look at, that's just the beginning of the next movement. And it kind of bit by bit nibbled away at it. And over not too long a period of time, we were actually able to play the whole thing. And, you know, I would say was definitely not ready to perform at the Wigmore Hall or anything like that. But we had fun doing it. And that was the point. So and she was really thrilled. And we were playing together, you know, right up within a few months of her passing away. And she got so much pleasure from that. So I think another example, actually, on the Pennine Way, the guy I was doing it with, his feet were in really, really bad shape. And on the last day, he said, I'm just not going to be able to walk today. And I thought, God, that'd be such a shame. You know, we've come 9 days, we're within sight of the finish almost. And so I persuaded him. So we'll just start, you know, just come a little bit and let's see. And bit by bit, you know, once we was up and, you know, he was in excruciating pain, but he did it. And so it's those are sort of little examples. I think in business or in speaking, another hobby that's actually I've found has helped me really well is being a member of Toastmasters International, sort of public speaking organization. And I've been in various roles on the committee, and quite often, you can get people phone up even on the day or a couple of days before a meeting saying, oh, I really can't do my speech. And quite often it's, well, I've got this project at work, I need to do a presentation. And saying, well, actually, why don't you do the presentation at the club meeting? It would be a great chance to practice before the big thing. And so kind of finding, you know, what can work with people just a little bit, just start with something, just try that. And I think I'm thinking business experiences. Sometimes, I suppose the most dramatic situation I had, I was a managing director of a car component company in Germany, going back over 25 years ago, and we had a factory burn down. I mean, thankfully, no one was injured, but it was a pretty dramatic scene. In terms of, you know, I got there at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. The one of these factories, a big part of it, was a smouldering ruin. And we could have stopped about 25% of the German car industry from all of the parts that we were supplying, which was probably about, I don't know, £400 million a day or something like that. So it was like, oh, my goodness. And I didn't know, you know, again, how could we do this? But I suppose, again, the approach, a bit like the half an hour approach on the walks, breaking things down into, well, what do we know in terms of what stock we've got around us, what customer orders are needed immediately, and what we can produce, what else could we produce in other factories of ours, competitors and so on. And we started to, you know, generate a list. But we would have meetings pretty much every 6 hours round the clock. And bit by bit, you know, from going this enormous, oh my goodness, how on earth do we do this? It started to narrow down into certain areas. You know, we were able to separate out, actually we managed to solve these things, and we were left with just some really critical parts for Audi, I remember it was, and we had, fortunately, we had about 7 days stock, but we had, no one else could produce these parts. We had to get three, these were long extrusion lines for rubber components, back into operation, and we had to completely clean out a building, put a new roof on it. All, you imagine all the sort of electrical control cabinets were underwater from the fire situation. And we managed to get this thing going within about half an hour to spare. So the man from Audi was getting a bit nervous, to say the least. But I think that's actually, it was my, and I was the leader in that situation. I managed to control my sort of concerns about how, I don't quite know whether we're going to make this, but again, it was being optimistic and think, well, okay, what can we do, and keep focusing on that to basically clear a way through this mass of unknowns, so we could home in on, okay, these are the particular problems. And I think find that hobby in business, all sorts of things, actually. There can be so many things, but being able to identify, okay, these are the things we really need to focus on. Because another thing that in the last few years has really informed what I'm doing now, again, it started as a hobby, or it still is a hobby, really, is doing triathlons. Now, that's a combination of swim, bike, and run. And again, it was probably a little bit by accident that I got into it. I happened to be cycling quite a lot to and from work, was swimming. I thought, oh, you know, I'd heard about people doing Ironman. I probably thought, yeah, I can do that. And well, thank God I started with a shorter distance. But also, actually, was a Toastmasters. I'd helped somebody do a speech a few years before about them, their experience doing a triathlon. So funny how some of these thoughts come together. And cut a long story short, you know, I would say I was very much low-grade amateur. And my joke to myself was, finish, don't be last, when I started. This was 2016. And despite having a massive Achilles injury, again, a combination of my stupid fall off the bike, which was my fault, an old injury from tennis many years ago, and also with hindsight, seeing my failure to do proper strength training, it meant I made a really, really good job of it, such they had to replace it, which was a big issue. And I was worried that I might not walk properly again. So in terms of motivation to do something, I was highly motivated to listen to whatever the physio told me to do, because I had no idea. Again, I suppose that was a big challenge. Could I actually get back to walking properly? And certainly, you know, triathlon, I thought, well, would really like to, but could I? Don't know. But it was kind of taking it step by step, literally made loads of notes every session I had with the physio, and do those exercises day and night. And it was a total of 18 months before I was able to run or cycle again. And yeah, I got back into triathlon, and having got signed off by the hospital, I carried on doing the exercises and astonished myself by coming first in a couple of events in my age group in 2019. And then that started opening up the awareness of Team GB, age group team. I mean, I had no idea there were things like that existed, and all these international events. And I thought, well, could I possibly qualify? I mean, it just seemed so far-fetched. But again, okay, a little bit of research, I could see I needed to get my time at that point was around 3 hours 10. This was a standard distance triathlon, so 1500 meters swim, 40k bike, 10k run. You know, I needed to get my time from that to below 2 hours 40, really, to be competitive. So I needed a good 30 minutes off that, and I bit by bit found coaches and people that could support me on that, because again, I didn't know whether I could do it. But just kept working away. Probably COVID helped in a way, because it gave me more time. The qualification event got put back a year. But yeah, I qualified and competed in 4 events, European and World Championships now, and best results, European champion last year and silver medalist in the World Championship. So absolutely gobsmacked. But it's a continuation, I can see now, of what I've done. And I've actually, I suppose, partly what I'm doing now is drawing on that learning and I've worked out the process of sort of 3 key steps of how I've done that, which I'm teaching to people in, whether it's speaking or part of consulting or workshops and so on. But it's motivation. You know, if you want to get better at something, you've got to care enough about it. Otherwise, there will be adversity and challenges get in the way. If you don't really care enough, you'll give up. Then you've actually got to take action, which was a bit for my physio. And I was talking with somebody last night that had not quite such a bad ankle Achilles problem, but he said, yeah, he didn't really do the exercises. So I think that was something I learned. I was very motivated. You actually have to do something. And then you've got to measure what happens. And what I like about sport is it's very tangible. Whether it's speed, time, ultimately, whether you win or not, it's the results are there. There's no wiggle room. There's no scope for just sort of saying, oh, I'm marvellous and all the rest of it. You know, it can be disappointing, you know, if a performance isn't quite where you want it to be. But I think what I encourage others and hopefully I do myself, even if it's disappointing, is engage with reality. You know, I remember last year and the year before my swimming, I wasn't making the progress I wanted. And it was frustrating. I thought, well, I'm putting in lots of effort. But when I looked at videos of me swimming, and you can go to these places where you get videoed from all directions, it was horrendous, really. Well, it was a lot better than it was, but it was clear why I wasn't going faster. I wasn't doing it properly. And, you know, despite my best efforts. So it's, well, get over that and learn how to do it better. You know, it's, there's no point sort of pretending, you know, I'm going to be able to magic my a faster swim speed without doing something differently. And I guess that's also, you do the same, you get the same.
And what I'm hearing is this whole bit by bit, step by step philosophy that you have engaged with in every aspect of your life. It really is having clarity and consistency behind what it is you're doing. How does purpose fit in?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think what's in looking back on my career, say in big companies, and I've sort of helped smaller companies, what I recognize is that I make things happen. You know, I can figure out, and okay, there's a problem, there's a challenge, let's you know, cut it down, and whether it's partly through me or working with others. And I think where I'm getting to now, so I care about the climate, so I've been involved to help a renewable startup company that actually drew a contact in renewables, who then had a diabetes problem, got me involved with low carb food distribution company. They've kind of been focused on particular things. I think where I'm now looking is this sort of perhaps higher level. I'm focused on tackling challenges and giving people the skills that they can tackle their challenges. And then perhaps it's up to them, you know, whether they want to do something that's saving the planet or getting a healthier diet. Those are things that I care about. But I think it's not necessarily my job to I can encourage people and show by example. But actually, if people, you know, say they really care about the climate but aren't doing anything, I can only do so much in my world. That's how I'm thinking at the moment. But if I can show people, here's how to tackle challenges, and, you know, it's up to you to find something that you really care about. And what I encourage as well is, it's doing it in a safe way. So the Toastmasters example, I think, is great, because lots of people, and me included, were petrified of public speaking. And I found it, I call it my learning lab, that I can come along and I can try out material. You know, what's the worst that can happen? I forget, I don't know, I mess up, I miss bits out or whatever the thing. The floor is not going to open up and swallow me, or at least it hasn't so far. And it's you're always going to get feedback and learning. I find the Professional Speaking Association, which I've been a member of for a couple of years, is a similar and really supportive environment. So I think, you know, if people if they don't have the confidence perhaps to sort of jump into some really major challenge, I think, again, the bit-by-bit approach that you've picked up, it's finding an appropriate arena for whatever the challenge is. And even it could be just training yourself to do some other challenge where you're learning that process of taking on challenges, if that's not too convoluted. So another, again, slightly crazy example, but sort of planet-related climate things. About, you know, be over 3 years ago, I did get rather irritated by Insulate Britain. I was sort of cycling to a meeting in town and had to take a very circuitous route because everything was blocked. And I thought, even for me, doing an open water swim across the Thames, I thought, no, maybe that's a step too far. So, but the sort of irritation came, and I was thinking, well, yeah, I would love to insulate my flat, but it's problematic, and sort of nailing polystyrene to the outside is not going to go down too well with the planning authorities, apart from safety. But it made me think about, well, what about Insulate Hillary? And because I'm doing lots of outdoor stuff, I've got a wardrobe full of all sorts of garments and so on. And I got curious about, could I go through a winter without putting the heating on? Now, okay, I'm in a flat, so I've got some advantages compared to someone in a, you know, a detached house. The hot water is also on a central system. But I was curious, really, and thinking about, okay, and I've got plenty of clothes. But bottom line is, I'm on my third winter now without putting the heating on, apart from a couple of minor things, either people coming round or forgetting that the thermostat was on and the temperature dropped so much that I woke up one morning thinking, God, it feels really hot. And the heating had come on, I'll turn that off. In terms of getting going, I'm sorry, I've forgotten the question where we got onto that.
It's great. It's a really lovely flow of thoughts and what's going on for you in terms of what matters. And that combination of engaging with reality, with taking responsibility to understand what you care about and what matters to you, and then taking the action, having had those reflections, it really is a wonderful process. And it's something that echoes the way that I work and talk about purpose and help people to navigate that, because so many people I speak to say, I don't know what my purpose is, and I don't know what it is that I want to focus on for the rest of my life. And what I'm hearing here is that it's a case of you just naturally evolved from one thing to another. What bothers you or what comes up or what has happened is like, I'm not just going to ignore that. I'm going to see what I can do about it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm open. I think curiosity is one thing I recognize, and being open to things now. I suppose it's the flip side. One of the personal things that I've got from my triathlon story as well is just the unbelievable power of focus. When you really focus on something, it's incredible what you can achieve. However, you can't apply that level of focus to more than one or, I don't know, two things at once, in my experience. However, I think knowing how to make those sort of steps of improvement is something you can turn on or off in particular areas. So, again, I'm thinking of my music. It actually was for this lady who passed away. I was asked to play at her memorial service, just unaccompanied Bach cello. And I thought, oh, goodness, you know, playing it in your own living room is different to sort of playing in front of 100 people or more. But I know, and I don't normally practice that much unless I've got something I'm really working to, but I know how to do it. So, you know, a 10-day blast on really working on something, I can get it, again, not quite Wigmore Hall standard, but, you know, I got compliments on the day and I was pleased. Well, I wanted to do the best I could. So I think, the being able to focus and seeing what you can do, but then actually being able to apply it to different things. But I think what I've learned is, or seeing the pattern, is this thing around challenges seems to keep coming up for me. So homing in on that, and I suppose my challenge now is, how can I make, a decent living from that, and actually helping people that I'm feeling I'm contributing, I'm helping people be the best that they can be, I'm having fun. It's integrating. I think what I'm aiming to do as well is integrate my sort of crazy triathlon field with business and sort of bring all these threads together. So I haven't totally worked it all out yet, but it's in progress and I'm confident I can. Yeah, I'm on the way.
So what would be the equivalent in business to your triathlon and sport in terms of three different disciplines?
I guess, I mean, with business, there's naturally lots of things to do. So probably, in a way of thinking with what I'm doing there, speaking wise, there's, if you like, new product development, content development, you know, what actually am I trying to talk on? The sales and marketing, obviously, when we could separate those out into different areas. There's actually the delivery side of being able, so you can have fantastic content, but if you're not able to deliver it in a way that's engaging, that's going to be problematic. though, I guess for any business, those areas of sort of new product development, you've got to have something, some product or service, and also you've got to keep developing it because nothing stands still. You've got to be able to reach out and understand who potential customers are, and do they care enough about what you're offering to pay for it? And then there's the kind of admin and organization side at the back of it. You've got to, whether you do it yourself or you outsource it, but it needs to be taken care of to actually do the books, admin, and actually be able to organize getting yourself to wherever you need to be, or even online. It takes organization. And so I think, those are, I can easily see the elements.
So knowing that you could be forever doing what you're doing, but evolving it as you go, and 104 sounds like a good innings for your pianist lady, and especially teaching or helping her to master Rachmaninoff at 94. My goodness, what an amazing achievement that is. What's next for you? What is it that you're looking to achieve over the next few years, whatever time frame that is for you?
Yeah, I think, I would say even in the next year, I'm really looking to get myself established as a speaker. I feel I'm on a good track. I won a contest that the Professional Speaking Association organised for the new speakers in 2022, the Speaker Factor Contest. And I've just recently done a TEDx talk. I'm waiting for it to go online. It should be up fairly shortly. And I think writing a book will be, it's definitely on the agenda, but I'm busy seeking out groups, companies, whether it's Lunch and Learns or workshops, tackling challenges, all sorts of things. I'm up for taking things on and seeing what I can do to help. I'm actually doing a quite intriguing webinar, maybe sort of 20, 25 minutes in a couple of weeks' time, that's helping some guys in the Caribbean come up with ideas around food security. So I'm kind of intrigued to see how that will go. I've been very open. I'm not an expert in this. However, I've got a framework with my motivation, action and measurement, which has come from the triathlon. Here's my thoughts on it, and knowing a bit about from my time with the food distribution business, know a bit about and where to go, who does know the sorts of things about good diet, healthy diets and things like that. So I think that's I really want to be doing more and more speaking things. Obviously getting paid gigs is even better. But I think what I'm learning, and I suppose I'm applying what I did with my triathlon, there's things I don't know. Who does know and how can I work with them? So the sort of elements that I mentioned with the speaking, the content development, delivery and so on, particularly with the contest that I did with the Speaker Factor, it was exactly the approach I took. Well, what do I need to do? Who can I work with that's going to help me get to the best level I can be? And with other areas of the business like sales, marketing, I'm working with people who can help me raise my game, because I know I'm not where I need to be or where I want to be. So, yeah, it's that continuous learning. I'm applying the same approach. So we're on the track.
And it seems to me that there's always this, I can do better, I can achieve more, I can get further in whatever you're doing. And the opportunity here, as you said earlier, of being able to measure results in the sport, having the tangible speed and time targets to aim for in personal life and in work, sometimes there is a degree of you can't engineer everything. There is an element of trust. Does that sit well with you to leave some things unknown and unplanned?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've learned, and I've seen in business, there are some people I've come across who are really absolutely focused on the sales numbers and the revenue, saying, right, no, the numbers aren't there. Years ago, there was a chap who was working in a public company. He would obsess about the share price every day. Well, I think that actually you want to be looking at the action, what's driving that. And I think from a sales point of view, it's, you know, are you, well, the sort of things I'm doing now, going to networking meetings, yeah, contacting people on LinkedIn or whatever it is, you know, it's those sort of activities that you can actually measure. I think there's also one of the things that I've learned, say again from my swimming, is that sometimes the progress might not be that quick or as easy to measure. And sometimes, well, you can measure it, but sometimes you've actually, if you're learning new things, you're going to go backwards. Actually, you've got to unlearn bad habits or one way of doing things. And if you keep obsessing with the measures, that can be counterproductive. So being able to step back from that and say, OK, I'm just going to do this set of drills, or, you know, the sales thing, I'm just going to make this number of calls every day. Consistently do that and then kind of look at it. Actually, a story from again, from my teenage years pops up of, was on a walk with my dad, my brother and a pen friend of his in Scotland. And we hiked up this hill. It was the Falkland Hills. And I was exhausted. We got to the top. And the idea was to, OK, we've done that. Now we're going to the next one, which is about 7 miles away. So it was downhill. And my dad could tell I was really getting rather discouraged, because I was looking at it and this thing was miles away. I thought, oh, my God, you know, we're never going to get there. He said, well, don't keep looking at it. Look down at your feet. Keep the feet moving and then just look up every now and again. And I think that's stuck with me as well. So there are, whilst I might at times obsess with measures, I'd know that there are times sometimes just to let go of that. And a bit as I was on the walk, as long as the feet are moving, every now and again, check in. And you think, oh, actually, I'm further forward than I thought. So it's, whether that's tricks or something, I think it's recognizing there's a time to really focus and use the measures to drive your performance, and there's a time to kind of sit back and trust, as you say, that if you're doing the right sort of things, then you will make progress.
And do you celebrate, Hilary? How do you celebrate? If you
how do I celebrate? I love going out for meals with friends. I'm not a great party animal, probably, especially now, actually, when they're doing lots of training and so on. But yeah, have a glass of champagne, why not? I love just spending time with friends and catching up and, yeah, going round for dinner or having them round here. Yeah, that's nice. Being with people that you can just be with, you know.
Yeah, I love that. And I remember when you're so focused, for me now, everything I do in terms of sport is analysed. I'm looking at improving my times. And I mean, I no longer drink alcohol because I can see the effect. Well, I saw the effects of just that one glass on my next day. And
yes.
If you're competing at this high level, that must make a big impact.
I think it's interesting with the alcohol. That was something that I noticed during lockdown, actually, when I got a new watch that's got a feature called Body Battery. And it's kind of looking at heart rate variability and stress levels and so on. I was really shocked at the impact of, yeah, if I were to go out, well, we want to be going out, having contact or just myself, to be honest, you know, if I'd had half a bottle of wine, it was shocking, the impact, virtually no recovery on a sleep. So that was, yeah, that was quite a wake up. So if, certainly if I've got events coming up, but even training, I think I'm not giving up alcohol, but I'm certainly very mindful of, you know, anything more than a glass is likely will impact my sleep and recovery. Yeah. And if you've got a training cycle, if you're not able to do what you want to do as well as you could on one day, that's going to put you back. So it comes down to the motivation, really, of what is it you want to do? Do I care enough about my training and what I'm doing to put off? You know, I suppose for anybody, there's all sorts of temptations. Whether, I mean, biscuits is something I could have eaten biscuits for Britain, but I find I'm probably using the same techniques with alcohol. Just don't buy it. You know, I keep the flat biscuit free, and so I think, you know, finding the techniques to they say no, it's not there, because it's the sort of thing, if it's around, it's very easy to get tempted, I find. So I'd be honest on that, and I think, well, no, I don't like that, so don't do it.
So with a biscuit-free flat, what is the big challenge that you're going for? You know, the big target, the one that people said, oh, you can't do that.
You can't. Well, first, from a triathlon point of view, I'm really looking to get another, I need another 4 minutes or so off my time to be in contention for gold medal in this year's World Championships. Nothing is guaranteed, because you don't know, the age groups are in a 5-year band. You don't know who's coming in. All I can focus on is being the best I can be. So I'm working hard on all the disciplines to squeeze another few minutes off. I think otherwise it's a professional challenge in a speaking to get my business, well established. I established myself in and find enough people who are interested to really push themselves forward. And there's a number of challenges to go on that, but I think the sort of feedback I'm getting so far, I'm heading in the right direction, so which is encouraging.
Amazing. Well, go for that gold. That I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Hilary, thank you so much for sharing your why on the podcast. How would people connect with you? What's the best way?
The best way, my email is Hilary with one L, hilary.briggs@r2p, so Romeo number 2p for peter.co.uk. LinkedIn, Hilary Briggs should show up on there. LinkedIn's probably the easiest one. Just message me. Be delighted to have a chat. And that's it really.
Perfect. Well, they're both in the show notes, along with anything else that you've given me to put in there. So thank you. An absolute delight. And I love the rule of thumb, the whole measure your results and engage with reality and show by example. They've really stuck out for me today. What are your final words?
I would just like to encourage everyone to take on a challenge, no matter how small. Just do something, make it a habit, every day. Just push yourself a little bit, because you will grow, and there is so much more that we can all do. I think we just don't give ourselves credit for the tremendous talents and abilities that we've got. So just get used to pushing yourself a little bit more, and look forward to enjoying the satisfaction of having achieved things that you thought, oh, I didn't think I could have done that. Because you never know where it can lead. So just go for it.
How has this conversation had an impact on you? What value have you received from tuning in? What are your reflections with actions? Please take a moment to leave me an Apple Podcast or Spotify review sharing how Focus on Why has made a difference to you today. Remember, the conversation doesn't end here. To keep it going, simply connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook or Twitter, or join the Focus on Why Facebook group. All the links are in the show notes. Have a purpose, have a plan, focus on why.